morning.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you this morning for being in the house of the Lord. It's been just been a rough week, I guess we could say, but we just thank the Lord for getting us through it. And so we only let the musician go ahead and go to the seats. It's good to be with you this morning. It's good to have Sister Clara with us.
Amen.
And she come in the door and just had such a wonderful smile on her face. And so it's quite a greeting. So just want to welcome her. Thank you for allowing us to be with us today. I'll be putting on the bulletin board this piece of paper, and I'll be putting it on the website. I think Brother Tim's going to be making an announcement through Facebook, but we're having our annual meetings coming up. And so this year they'll be on Friday, May the 29th, Saturday, May the 30th, and Sunday, May the 31st. And again, we will be having Ben Norlock with us. So please be in prayer about those meetings. We had a really good time last year, had a lot of turnout, and we enjoy the fellowship that we have with other saints as they come to visit. We really appreciate that. We're all going to go together someday and be together throughout eternity, so we might as well just fellowship some on this side.
Amen.
So we want to just have those meetings in prayer and ask the Lord that He would guide us in everything that He would have us. So if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open to Romans chapter 3. I think for some of you, seems like it's been a while since you've been in service, since we had the snow and ice and stuff. But the Lord is good to us. Romans chapter 3, let's begin reading it, verse 1. And you know, in chapter 2, it just ended off where Paul was saying that he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, he's one which is a Jew inwardly. And it may sound like that would take away from the fact that the Jewish people on the outside were Jewish people and that they didn't really amount to much. So Paul comes around and answers this question. He said, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mayest be justified by thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. This is a verse, a scripture that Brother Branham used over and over and over. Let every man's word be a lie. God's be true. Right. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. We have thanksgiving in our heart, Lord, for your blessings upon us. As Brother Daniel mentioned, when we come into the house of God and we feel your presence here, it's lingering. Lord, as the saints begin to come in, just it gets greater and greater. Service starts, it gets greater yet more. But Lord, we thank you for being so faithful that you are among all or more faithful to be in the house of God when it comes to service down than anyone else. We thank you for that, being so faithful to your word and your promises. We ask, Lord, as we get into the service this morning, that you'll just to open our hearts and give us inspiration, Lord, to receive and to hear that which you have for us this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to title this morning, It Shall Be. We find here, as we were just saying, that God had chosen Israel. We know that He did when He looked down over all of humanity and needed someone that He could choose and bring plan of redemption to pass, begin to work and bring it to pass. He needed to bring a Messiah on the scene. He needed someone who could be the foundation of what God was going to do in the earth and get to the place where a Messiah could come on the scene and be the Savior for mankind. So He chose Israel to do it. He could have chose anybody, but He chose Israel. And as we just seen in the scriptures, a lot of Israel throughout all that didn't believe. Right? There's a lot of times where you and I don't think we have much faith either. There's a lot of times, to be honest with you, we don't. But as it said there with the scriptures, and as it was with Israel, did their unbelief stop the plan of God? And the answer is no. And it won't stop plan of God for you either. I know that sounds really strange, but listen, we're preaching a message to the bride. I'm not preaching to the world. Okay? There's things that we can say to you because you're bride, and it'll matter to you, but it would be totally something you couldn't say to the world. And so our little moments of disbelief or our little moments of mistakes and that sort of thing is not going to hinder God either. What he has said he will do shall be. Right? It shall be what he has declared. And so their unbelief didn't stop him. And what I want to show you there is that, you know, our actions and our, you know, we have the phrase where words is thoughts expressed. Well, our actions is, you know, our actions is making a statement. Our actions really, you know, they say that we can preach a sermon, or we can live a sermon louder than we can preach, right? So your actions actually are words, right? And when Israel didn't believe, when they went about in their actions and they were doing things to show that they didn't believe, it didn't stop God. God went ahead and did the things that he said he was going to do. And so their actions were actually words made flesh, and those words or those actions that they were giving was a lie. Right? Yeah. Why was it a lie? It was because it was not in unity with what God had declared. What God had set out to do, what God had set out the purpose to do, was going to come to pass. And so Paul is saying here, it doesn't make a difference. It didn't make a difference. Their unbelief did not stop God. Right? As a matter of fact, there's something that's being established there that we've seen in the scriptures that's been established a long time ago and is still true today. Every man's word, every man's actions is a lie, but God's is true. Yeah. When I say that, I mean, like I said a while ago, if our actions and if our words, if Israel's actions and their words and what they believe and all that, if it's not in unity with what God said, then obviously it's a lie, yeah. Right? Because the only thing that's really true and the only thing that's right is what God has declared. That's it. The only right mind that we can have is the mind of God. Right. That's it. We have no right thinking. That's why we have that phrase, you don't have a thought coming. And I know that sounds harsh. That sounds like a cult or something like that. But all it's really saying to break that down is to let us know that until our mind is transformed into the mind of Christ, then we basically are living a lie. We're believing a lie. Until our thoughts become his thoughts. Until we think like he thinks, right? Until we act like he acts. Because our actions are the same thing. It's you're living out words. So that's what it's referring to there. And so Israel didn't hinder God because when they lived something contrary to the word of God, it was a lie. And so he said, let every man's word be a lie. And every man, if he's not led by the Holy Spirit, it will be a lie. And so it's important for us to realize that it's not what I think, it's not what you think, it's not what the world thinks, but it's what God has said. That's what matters, and that's what shall be. And so, my thought on the matter, when daily things come our way and things happen, what God desires is that what we meet every situation and every circumstance with is that we meet that with the Word of God, like Jesus did. When Satan came to him and tempted him in the wilderness, what did he do? Now, Jesus was in a very, having fasted for 40 days, he was very hungry, he was very weak, very vulnerable, and Satan always will come to the weakness.
Right.
He'll always come to the weakness, so Satan came to him to tempt him and to test him and all that sort of thing, and trying to tempt him, really, that's what it was. And so Jesus just simply responded, it is written. And so, you know, that's what God wants us to come to the place is that when Satan comes to us, when the world comes to us, when circumstances come our way, whether it's sickness in our body, sickness in our home, sickness in our church, whatever it is, whether it's a job decision, Brother Tim, whether it's that or whether it's any of those things, you name it, that no matter what happens in our life, the response that we give is not our own thought. It's not our own thinking, because it's a lie. But it is the mind of God, it's the Word of God, because that's the only thing that shall be. And that's what God, He's trying to get us to, trying to get the bride of Christ, because we know we're coming to a place where the bride of Christ, she will know what to do with the Word. Well, why? Because she is the Word. And so I don't want to, I look at it this way, and it seems to sound right to me to say this, that at some point we'll reach a place where responding with the Word will be our first nature. I don't want to say second nature. I'm going to say our first nature.
Right.
That we'll no longer respond from our humanity and from all the ways and customs of man and how we've, you know, we're all given by our environment that we live in. We're all given these kinds of mental processes of how to deal with things when they come. And it's always out of the human grab bag to respond this way or do this or do that. And all that's got to go to the wayside so that we respond with Jesus Christ, with the Word.
Yeah.
And so that's what the Lord is getting us to, is to the place where we're like Jesus in the wilderness. And by the way, when Jesus was tempted there, He passed the test.
Yeah.
And He was launched into His ministry because of that. And so there's an element that I want everybody to understand, that the bride is to come to that. She's to come to that full stature, right? She's to come to that full measure where she and Christ are one. I believe it's working right now. I believe we're in the vortex of that process. But she has to come to the place where God can, where she's tested, and God is not afraid to say, here she is. Like He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. She has to come to that place. In other words, when Jesus came to that spot where He was tested and He passed the test, then God knew that He could send, that the Lord would go out there and always do exactly what God wanted. Right?
Sure.
Jesus actually said that. Always do the things that are pleasing in thy sight. Remember that? And so He said, the Father has not left me because I always do the things that are pleasing to sight. And I touched on that the other day about Enoch, because Enoch, Brother Bram said, everything that God asked Enoch to do, he did it.
Right.
And I said, you know what? We don't feel like we've come to that place, but God, it shall be. This is what I want to get to you. God has something for you. He has something He's declared, just like He did with Israel. And our little, you know, shortcomings and things like that is not going to stop it. It shall be, He shall bring to pass the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in you, just like He did in Israel, and it's going to be that way, no matter what.
Yeah.
He's just going to bring it to pass. And so, she's to come to that place where she's like Him. And when that time comes, she'll be ready for rapture. When that time comes, she'll be ready for the throne. Because remember, she sits with Him on the throne, right? And Brother Rev said, death doesn't change us, right? It just changes our dwelling place. And if we want to be rulers there, if we want to be able to sit on His throne, we have to have the character to sit on His throne. But that character to sit on His throne has to be formed. We have to reach that place here and now. And once we reach that place like Jesus did, it'll be tested, right? It'll be tested, and when it's tested, she'll pass the test, and then she'll be able to go sit on the throne. She will go into a body change, because God's not going to change us if our condition's not ready.
Right.
If we're not ready, He's not going to change us. We're not going to put wheat that's not dried properly in the barn, in the garner. That's not going to happen. That's why Brother Branham said that you got to stand in the presence of the sun and let it dry us out. Let it make all the greenness out of us. What? Get us ready for that garner. Get us ready for that rapture.
Amen.
So we have to lay in the presence of the Word, the Son.
Right.
I feel sorry for people who's not laying in the presence of the Word and yet think they're going. Because we're not going to go until the Word has baked all of the human greenness out of us.
Yeah.
All of the thoughts of humanity, gets it all out of our experience, so that everything that responds is, it is written. Everything that responds is going to be the Word, because that's the only thing that's fit for rule over there. So we have to come to that here. It's going to be that way. It shall be that way. We may not understand it. We may not see how it's happening. Whatever, all that, those things happen. But God will have a people who reach that place before body change. Right. And remember Enoch's testimony. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So go back and listen to that series if you want to, you know, be reminded of those things that we were talking about. And so when she gets to that place, she'll have a body change. She'll be ready for rulership. And according to a prophet, there will be a short display, a short, powerful display of who she is just before her body change. We believe that.
Yeah.
It'll happen. And so it's coming. We're living in an hour where things are changing rapidly. It's different. And the bride is on the move. She's on the move into that direction. So it shall be, right?
Amen.
It shall be what God has said it shall be. So our road between now and body change, I can tell you what to expect. You can expect that everything that happens is constantly unfolding to bring you to that place.
Amen.
And we're not going to sit by like this and ever reach that place. God has got this thing worked out where He's going to make you and I get up off of our spiritual seats of do-nothing and get involved.
Right.
Because you see, the rapture is a revelation. It's also, the rapture is a spirit. It's the Spirit, okay? Capital S. It's the Holy Spirit that I'm referring to. But just for the sake of expressing it to you like I'm wanting to, the rapture is a spirit. And you have to get caught up or get interactive with that spirit. You go to a ball game, you get interactive with the spirit of a ball game. You get involved with it. Okay? And so God is giving us, here's this road of what He's bringing us to, and we have to become spiritually active in this cycle, in this process of what we're talking about. So between now and rapture time, everything that happens is going to be geared to take you and I to that place, to that time in our experience where we no longer respond with our human thoughts and our human expressions and what we think, but it'll always be the Word of God that we respond with. So when Satan comes along and he tries to put something on you, you're not going to say, okay, I'll take it. Here's what I'm saying. Is it written in the Word that you have to have that? Right? If Satan wants to put depression on you, is it written somewhere in the Word that you have to have depression?
No.
When the Bible says He's not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind.
That's right.
Right? So you see what I'm saying? We're arriving to the place where we realize who we are and what our privileges are and what belongs to us. And we're beginning to realize, you know what? I don't have to receive this. I know we've heard this before, but she's coming to a place where she realizes that. And I realize that most of what our life is all about is for expressing to others. So I'm not saying that we'll spend all our time protecting ourselves, okay? Jesus was tempted, and He didn't use it for Himself. So a lot of times, most of the time, we'll be using our faith for someone else. And someone else's faith will be, they'll be using it for us, right? I give you rain in the name of Jesus Christ. Didn't say I give myself rain, you know what I'm saying? And so our life will still be a life of expression, of living for others, but we're coming to that place where we realize what belongs to us. And when we are confronted with situations and circumstances on a daily basis, our response shall be with the Word. We're coming to that. Because if we never come to that, we'll never come to that body change and sit over there in that throne. So between now and then, that's our road. Our road is to come to that. And so it'll be testing and trying and testing and trying. But all through all that, you should be able to see progress, spiritual growth and progress in your own life, where you realize and that you see that it is becoming your first nature to respond with the Word to circumstances and not your own thoughts.
Yeah.
You should see that working. You should see yourself spiritually growing. When a child is growing, surely they can look in the mirror and they can look at their lives and tell that they're actually growing and getting stronger, getting taller, getting bigger. And every time they get taller and bigger, The daughter gets more like mom, and the son gets more like dad. So as we grow, we get more like our father. Right? That's the way it works. And so that the rapture is a spirit that we get caught up into. Get caught up into exercising who you are.
Amen.
Right? That's what we're talking about. Get caught up in exercising who you are. So everything in our life, everything around us has to give way to the Word of God and be what that is. Everything in time, everything in this world, everything in the entire universe has to move in that direction. I don't care what it looks like. You read in the headlines, you hear what is going on. I don't care what it looks like. We're not looking at the visible. We are looking at the unseen. And that doesn't matter what the visible looks like. Everything that's happening is constantly moving and unfolding and rolling into that direction. Into the direction to bring you to where God wants you. Everything is moving that way, constantly moving. Brother Branham said in What is the Attraction of the Mountain? He says this: everything that shall never die is constantly unrolling. He used the word unrolling itself. Everything that shall never die is constantly unrolling itself. It's not just sitting stagnant. That hidden dimension, everything that, because we know that everything that shall not die, which he's talking about eternal things, right? All of that is constantly unfolding itself. It's constantly moving in that direction to be what God said it would be, regardless of what it looks like. So it doesn't matter what I think, how I added up in my mind, and what I think, or what my neighbors think, or what the government thinks, or whatever. None of that matters, because if it's not with the Word, it's a lie. So everything is a lie, but God's Word is true, and it shall be what He has said. And we might as well get caught up in the spirit of the fact that God is here present to bring this to pass. The Holy Spirit in your life is present to inspire you. Get caught up in the fact that God is going to bring to pass everything in your life that He said He was going to do. Amen. That He's going to bring you to that place of rapturing faith. He's going to do it. Right. And so you might as well just start calling it like Abraham, see? Call it. Call it as being so. Even though there is no evidence physically, we're not looking at the visible evidence. We're looking at the unseen, and it shall be what He said. Yeah. And so, because our faith reaches out in that dimension and grabs those things. So everything that shall never die is constantly unfolding itself, unrolling itself. That means that your eternal position in Christ is constantly unfolding and unrolling itself. No matter what's going on, what's really happening is that the real you in Jesus Christ is constantly unrolling and unfolding itself. That's what's really going on. And so everything in this whole universe has got to give way at some point to that which God has spoken. It has to be that way. That means that my opinion about myself has to give way. And I have to begin to say, I am the bride of Christ. Amen. That means that when I make mistakes and I look at my failures and I see the pains and thinking, just like Brother Branham thought, if you're going to do something for God, you better get it done. That all that has to go away, and I have to realize I am firmly founded and I am on Christ, the solid rock. Right. My foundation. And so all that has to give way. The whole universe at some point has to give way to the kingdom of God. And it might as well, it has to be that way in our thinking. And so, it's constantly unfolding itself. Well, it starts with you first. Because you are the house of God.
That's right.
Right? You're the temple of God. You're the house of God. And this is the way it works. God starts on the bottom rung and works Himself, goes high. He doesn't start at the top, He starts at the bottom. But God's got a concept, and it starts on the throne of the kingdom. If you don't go out and ask the whole kingdom to become righteous, if you don't have a righteous king, You don't ask a person to do righteous things if they don't have the righteous one in their heart.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So God starts at the center. But if he gets the center, if he gets the heart truly, he can take the rest of the kingdom. He can take the rest of the world. So you are the house of God, and his purpose was to come and have preeminence in the house of God first. And when he has preeminence in the house of God truly, then that shall go out into the rest of the world and turn the whole kingdom.
Right.
But that's why the world is the way it is, because the church is falling the wayside.
Yeah.
Right? But for you, the bride of Christ, right? You're the house of God. And Brother Bram said that the righteous are going to take it over, the world. They're going to take it over, right? That's going to happen. It shall be that the people who are despised and rejected by the world, someday this world, we're going to take it over, and the whole domain is going to be underneath our hands. Right? It says the word. Well, how's it going to get from where it is now to then? Because at some point, everything has to crumble and give way to what God has said shall be.
Yeah. Right.
And it's happening. It's moving in that direction. And it doesn't matter what it looks like, it is moving that way regardless.
Yeah.
And so it starts with you because you're the house of God. And the Bible says judgment must first start at the house of God.
That's right.
So it has to start in your homes. It has to start in your heart. It has to start in the church. And whether the world wants it or not, it's God's program. He said it'll start at the house of God, it'll start at the throne, and he will take it into this world and it'll take over. So that's exactly what's going to happen. Because it's moving. And so, judgment has to start at the house of God, and then it goes into all the world. So when you, the bride of Christ, when you finally come to that place where you no longer present your own thoughts on the matter and your own culture and humanity and all that, that when you finally come to the place where you realize who you are and it's the word that gets responded every time, that judgment that started at the house of God will then go into the world. And that's what's happening. But you know, it's a fading in and fading out, that kind of thing. But that's what happened. That's why Brother Branham said there's only one thing left, and that's the readiness of the bride.
Yeah.
That's the only thing left. The only thing left is for her to get all that greenness baked out of her, for her to quit calling things according to the way of humanity out of the humanity grab bag on how to deal with stuff. That's the only thing that's left. And when she finally reaches that place where she knows who she is, the rapture will go. When she knows who she is, she will put the word on display. There will be a powerful, quick demonstration. And judgment will strike this world like never before, because it started with her and it goes into the, out into the world.
Yeah.
Now, it's in the spiritual sense, but also physically. We'll talk about Israel in a moment, but it starts in Israel, because that throne, that over there, Israel's where his throne is going to be on earth. And he's going to rule from there.
Yeah.
And Satan wants that throne. And Satan wants the throne here. Satan wants this pulpit. Satan wants the throne of your heart. Why? Because he wants to propagate. He knows the rules. He knows how it works. That whoever's sitting on the throne, that's who gets the kingdom.
Right?
So if we say, if we have trouble overcoming things, we need to say, well, we need a stronger virtue of Christ in the throne.
Yeah.
See? And so we'll talk about Israel in just a minute. And so, but whenever the bride comes to that place like that, that judgment's going to be, right? It's going to happen. It's constantly unfolding in that direction. Constantly. The Bible tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Let's go to that. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. We'll read that real quick. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You believe that?
Amen.
So this that God has declared, which he has purposed in Christ, nothing can take that away. Nothing can separate that. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any creature, other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So, can Obama separate you?
No.
I didn't think so. Can your own failures separate you?
No.
I can't say that to them, but I can say it to you.
No.
Right? Can't say it to the world, but I can say that to what I believe to be the bride. Nothing shall separate you from what shall be. And what shall be, even though you can't see it with your physical eye, it's constantly unfolding itself, unrolling itself, as Brother Graham said, in what is the attraction on the mountain. We'll have you pull up some more scriptures real quick here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18. Because I said a while ago, we're not looking at something that's visible, we're looking at the unseen. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. Paul says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day." How many can say that's the truth when you look in the mirror every morning? "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight in glory." A far more exceeding. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." You know what that means? Temporary. "But the things which are not seen are eternal."
Yeah.
It's not going to look to our naked eye what shall be.
Right.
Even it says in the scriptures that we don't even see yet what we'll be. But we realize we're the sons of God, and it will come. And so let's read this in Hebrews chapter 12. She almost had it up there. "See then that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he had promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved," right? "Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." And so, we have received a kingdom which cannot be moved.
Yeah.
It shall be. But it's not visible to the naked eye, right? So God is trying to get you and I to the place where through the physical eye, no matter what it looks like, we don't judge off of that. We go back to what is written, and that's what we say, and that's what we speak. And it's important that we don't just believe it, and we don't just think about it, and we don't just talk about it in service, and we don't just fellowship about it. But what it's got to be is that when it comes to that crucial time of meeting the enemy face to face, that we pull that out and actually speak it. Because it's the spoken word. Satan don't care if you just believe it and just say it quietly. But when you rise up and you put that word on your lips, it's deity speaking.
Right.
He doesn't want that.
Amen.
And that's where we have to go. Between now and then, it has to come to that place where we speak it.
Yeah. Amen.
Brother Brown said, and I mean, we're listening to where he talks about the virtues. And he said that when we get mature, we'll get to the place that where when God says no to you, you'll love him anyway.
Right.
And he said you'll get to the place where when you're at that place, you'll understand why he has to say no. Mm-hmm. Right? Just like the woman that had the baby that died, and they were going to fly Brother Branham in the Air Force jet or whatever, was going to fly him to Germany and back in one day so he could go over there, and everybody over there was prophesying thing that he's going to, Brother Branham's going to come and pray for him. And Brother Branham said, well, let me see what the Lord wants. Let me see what the Lord wants. And they kept calling all out long, and Brother Branham was out praying, and the Lord, trying to see what the Lord wanted, and the Lord told him, said, you leave it alone. That's the hand of God. Just leave that baby alone. And so that's what happened. He just said, "Just that's the will of God. Leave it alone. Let it go ahead and bury the baby." He's talking to the woman later on, and she said to him, she said, Brother Branham, is it because I had no faith? And Brother Branham said, no, you've got great faith, sister, because he said no to you, and you still love him and serve him. So Brother Branham, in this stature of a perfect man, he's speaking then. He says, well, come to the place where when he says no, you still love him, and you've reached a place where you understand why he has to say no to you. So what are you beginning to do? You're beginning to break into a realm where that dimension is more important to you than anything you can see and anything you experience, and no matter whether it's height or depth or breadth or angel or spirit or whatever it is, no matter what's going on, you resort to that which shall be, that eternal that he spoke and said you would have. And so that's the way it works. It's the same way with Israel. You know, God chose them. We talked about that. God chose them. And he did something in the nation of Israel, and he's still doing something in the nation of Israel, and it shall be what God has said about them shall be. It shall come to pass.
Yeah.
And I don't care what Obama thinks. I don't care what his opinion is on how to deal with this Iranian nuclear situation. I don't care what the UN says. It's not what they think. It's not even what Israel themselves think. But it's what God has said. Right? That's what shall come to pass with the nation of Israel. You know, the United States don't have much going for them anymore. The only thing left is the Bride of Christ and the fact that they do still have a little bit of things they do for Israel, but that's quickly leaving. And the best thing they could do is to, if they're not going to repent of their sins and come back, which we know they're not, the best thing they could do is hold faithful to Israel, to support them and stand by them, because at least that blessing would still be inverted upon us for standing with Israel. But that's not. It's going to its wayside. So, it doesn't matter what they think and what Iran wants to do. But, you know, they think they're going to get nuclear weapons. As soon as they do, you know what they're going to do with them. They try to destroy not just Israel, but they want to take, the Muslims want to take over the whole world. We know that. But I'm just saying, it's not their desires. It's not what they think. It's not what Obama thinks or the UN thinks. That's all just a bunch of lies. And the reason why it's lies is because it's not what God said shall be. And so what he has declared with Israel shall be what he has spoken. And so what we realize is that, you know, God used them to bring the Messiah. Of course, they rejected him or whatever, but then God said he was going to bring them back to their homeland, and he once again would come back to them, and they would realize who the Messiah was and all those sorts of things. But we find out and we realize that God is bringing, the nations don't know this, Obama don't know this, the UN doesn't know this, and I doubt even that the guy there, Benjamin Netanyahu, what position is he holds? Prime Minister? Prime Minister of Israel. I doubt he even understands this. Maybe he does by now, I don't know. But God is drawing every nation down to Armageddon, and he is using Israel to do it. Because he said, I'll make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. Every nation is going to stumble at that stumbling stone, at that. And so you realize that what's happening when you look out here and say, oh, this is happening, that's happening. Nonsense, it's all lies. I'll tell you what's happening. The world, the nations have rejected God. They don't want nothing to do with him. And God is going to judge them for that. And the way this thing plays out and plans out is their rejection of God is fleshed out by the way they treat Israel. Because Israel's a people of God. He has chose them. He said that's their land. They're going to have it. He said it's going to be that way. And the rest of the world don't like it. And what it is they won't stand there with their political agendas and just say that we're rebelling against God and that's how we're doing it. But that's exactly what's going on. Everything comes back to the Word of God and what the world is doing with that Word. And the nations are rejecting God. They don't want nothing to do with Him. They don't want Him in the schools. They don't want the prayers. They don't want anything. Any other religion can get by with murder, but Christianity's got to be in a corner quiet. They can't do nothing hardly, see? That's the way they want it. And that's the way they're trying to make it go. And so, God is bringing every nation down there to judge them. And he won't judge somebody without reason. So he simply states that every nation that blesses you will be blessed, and everyone that curses you shall be cursed.
Right.
Well, in order for him to be cursed, the presence of God can't be with him.
Right.
So he's that's what this is about, Mr. Obama. That's what you're doing. That's what the rest of the nations of the UN are doing by slowly pulling your support from Israel. God is drawing you. There's nothing you can do about it. He's drawing the nations down there because you got Israel who now can defend themselves, who want to live peaceably, but the world is telling them they can't have their promised land.
Right.
They want to do that, and you've got an enemy right next door there who says, I'm going to destroy you. And Israel is saying, we will defend ourselves. We won't let it get to that place. And the whole world is now drawn into that. And now the whole world seems to be the police on the matter, supposedly. And the world is choosing not to go in there and stop that nuclear plant cold turkey. And Israel knows that if they don't stop it, they know exactly what that enemy is going to try and do. So Israel says, we will not let this happen. We will defend ourselves. And the world is saying, you better behave yourself, Israel. You can't defend yourself. You let us take care of this. How would you like it if some great panel of people sitting somewhere would tell you and your neighbor's trying to shoot at you with a .30-06 and they want to tell you, you just go about your daily business and let us handle this.
Yeah.
And they ain't doing nothing about it.
Yeah.
Right? So you see, the whole situation is lined up in a situation so that it is drawing every nation down there because they're all going to go against him, against Israel, against God, and God will judge them by their actions just in that manner right there.
Yeah.
Because they choose not to bless them because the whole world knows that they're established on the Bible, that they were the people of God.
Right.
May not agree with it, whatever, but that's what's happening. And so God's bringing all the nations down there to judge them because of the way they've treated and the way they're turning their back on Israel. Every religious spirit, same way. Every religious spirit is being drawn to Armageddon because God is going to judge them. Remember the Old Testament scriptures? He said, I'll bring them down here and plead with them there. In the valley of Jehoshaphat, he will plead with them there in Megiddo. What? He's bringing them down there to tread out that wine press. That's what the scripture's talking about. He's going to tread them out. He's going to lay it waste right there. And it's based upon, for the nations, based upon what they've done against Israel. But in spiritual sense, we're in Armageddon. He's drawing all those denominational spirits to rise up in an ecumenical union to come together against the little bride. But God is doing it. He's drawing them together in their unity. It's the greatest hour that's ever been for us to look and say, praise God, we realize what's happening. Though to the physical eye, it looks like they're fixing to come and get everybody. But we're looking at the unseen and realize that God is drawing them together to judge them. And he has to have a reason. And so he's going to judge them for rejecting the word and what they've done to the word that's in the bride. That's what's happening. And those things are happening right now. And so there has to be an increase in activity of these actions against Israel. There has to be increase of activity against the bride. So if we look at what we see physically, if it's all we're looking at that, we're going to shy away because it's mounting up. But to us who look to that promise of God, we realize what's happening. And our day of redemption draws near because of what's happening. We believe that. We know it's God's plan because it shall be. And so every nation, every denomination, every spirit, that's the way it works. Now I'm going to present something to you that I've never heard anywhere else, but I mentioned it to Brother Tim the other day. But it's something that, just a little side thing there. And maybe Brother Branham has said this and I just didn't catch it. But we realize that when blindness is in part on Israel until the fullness of Gentiles come in. So when the fullness of Gentiles come in, then he turns to them, and then there's no more Gentiles saved. We know that. It's a biblical. So what I'm fixing to tell you is going to be biblical, but just a different slant that I've never noticed. We understand that in order for there to be sins remitted and taken away, there has to be blood sacrifice. There has to be somebody that's something that's a sacrifice, right? And so we realize that Jesus Christ is our sacrifice. I'm not trying to take away from that, but Jesus Christ and his ultimate sacrifice is played out and even in your individual life. When you suffer reproach and you suffer, there are blessings that come to others because of that, because you are a sacrifice, right? But what I want to show you is that God picks the Jews, picks Israel to be the place where he would bring forth the law and bring forth all the things so the Messiah could come on the scene. And the purpose was that Messiah would save the people, but he would have to be rejected first. So he'd be rejected, and when the Jews, in order for him to be rejected, the Jews had to reject him, right? They had to reject him. And through that rejection, the gospel came to us Gentiles. Right? Through Israel rejecting the Messiah, I want to show you that it entitled. They are the sacrifice. Because the scripture said God blinded him. And Brother Graham said they would have received him, but he blinded them that we Gentiles could come in. And Paul's talking about, the riches and the wisdom of God, how he's worked all this out. Right? And so Brother Graham said, and the scripture's quote, I can tell you, we're in Isaiah. Who will go for us? And Isaiah says, okay, well, I'll go. Lord, send me. He said, okay, go and make their eyes dim where they can't see, and make their ears dull of hearing, lest they would believe and be converted and I'd heal them. And then Jesus comes along, and in his ministry, right there, he said, this is that. Because you have ears to hear, but you can't hear, and you have eyes to see, but you can't see, lest I'd come and heal you. So who did it? God said, who's going to go bring this to pass? Who's going to go blind that people so they'll reject me when I come as Messiah so that I can save some Gentiles? Who'll do it? And Isaiah said, I'll go. Right? I'll go. And he went. And by speaking and prophesying, he blinded them, made their eyes to where they couldn't see and their ears where they couldn't hear. So he sacrificed Israel. And from that day when they said, let his blood be upon us, they've been cursed, they've went through a Holocaust, they've been annihilated, kicked out, run out, and spirits out in the world have been bent on trying to take away and destroy every Jewish person out there. Because they've been a sacrifice. But you see, now Israel's back to their homeland. They're back as a nation. They have one of the greatest sophisticated militaries. Their guys are trained. They have the best intelligence. There's some of their scientists that they have, the scientists that we have over here that do great things come from there. If you know anything about it all, you know that a lot of these guys that have given us great things have been Jewish men, Jewish scientists. Why? Because God has put that upon them. They've had that. But what I want to show you here is that now they're no longer a scattered people. They're no longer a weak people. They're a people that's back in their homeland, a people who's been made strong now, and now they can defend themselves. And so I've been listening to Benjamin Netanyahu and some of his speeches that he's gave. How many of you heard the one he gave to Congress the other day? I listened to it. And from that one and then some of the other ones that I've seen that he spoke to the UN when he was speaking to the UN. And he just basically said this. He said, we just simply This is at the UN. He said, we just simply are not going back to those ovens again. That's what he said. He said to our people, our Congress, the other day, and when he was here, he said to them, and he said, it's not a perfect quote, but he said, our days of being passive, when genocide, when aggression is coming toward us, and it basically has genocidal purposes. In other words, to annihilate the Jews. He said, those days, and he did this. He said, those days are over. He told our people, he said, even if we have to stand alone, you see what's happening? Israel has come to revival. Israel has realized who they are. And let me tell you something. If they can no longer be acts of genocide put upon them, if people rise up to try and make them that slain lamb again, and they say, no, you're not, and they've been given the power to reject that, don't you see what's happening? There shall be no more sacrifice for the Gentiles because the Jewish people are no longer going to be slaughtered like they've been for so many years. You see what I'm saying? And this is playing out right now. So we know that we Gentiles, a Gentile church, their time is numbered because Israel's coming back. And there won't be a sacrifice like that anymore. And he's standing there telling the whole world, we will not go back to those ovens. We're just not going back to those ovens again. We're not going to sit by and just be passive when these people rise up. And even if we have to stand alone, to do it. Now, what's happening? They have caught an anointing. Israel has caught an anointing of God bringing to pass what shall be. It shall be that Israel comes back to that position and they'll no longer be destroyed and scattered like that. God has said so. It'll no longer happen, which means in turn the Gentile days is done. Because at the same transition time when the Jewish people say no more, there are no more sacrifice, at that same time when that's happening, that's when the opinion of the Gentile people turn against them. Like that, the whole world. You understand what I'm saying? The whole world turns against them. And so all that happens in the Middle East is to do that right there. Everything that happens in the Middle East is to establish Israel that way for them to stand up and say, no, we're not putting up with it anymore. But everything's designed so that the whole world gets caught up into that and they come down there and God pleads with them there. And so we realize the whole world will turn against them, but we also realize that God said at that time he will fight for them. Mm-hmm. Right? And we know that the whole world will turn against the bride, but God said he'd fight for us. Right? Spiritual. So, the bride has to come to that place where she says, you know what? She's in revival. We know who we are. We don't have to bow down to all this other stuff anymore. We have come to our position, just like Israel has come to their.
Right.
We have come to our position, and just like Israel coming to their position, the whole world hates them. We come to our spot, and all the religious systems, all the denominations cannot stand it that you and I are having revival because of a message of a prophet. They can't stand it, and they will not. They will not sit by and let that happen without bringing aggression. It has to happen. And Israel cannot continue on protecting themselves without there be aggression come to them for that. It has to be that way. So that's what happened. It shall be. So we're in revival just like Israel's in revival, and the world hates it. The spirits hate it. But that's what's happening. So the bride is coming to her end time position, and there is a showdown. I mean, those that Brother Branham said there will be a showdown. Spoke of Mary's original seed. There will be a showdown with the bride. That showdown is the rapture. Amen? That showdown with the bride is the rapture. That is how he declares that she was his when he takes her in a rapture. And so everything that I've just told you is tomorrow's headlines. Everything that comes. But I want you to realize that everything that you hear and everything that Satan perpetrates upon you and everything that comes across the news, it's all constantly moving in a direction to bring to pass that which shall be for Israel and for you. So the best thing for us to do is to go ahead and rise up in our revival. Go ahead and rise up. That's what they're doing. That's what their leader's doing. They're saying, no more. This is who we are. And we're taking possession of what's given to us. And I can tell you that the evil spirits, the religious spirits, won't like it when you rise up and become that bride of Christ and you begin to exercise that and that begins to become more preeminent in your life. They're not going to like it. The more you become who you are, they're not going to sit by and let that happen. They have to become hostile. And so that's what's happening. But that'll be tomorrow's headlines, because everything is constantly moving in that direction. And if you read the paper tomorrow, or Satan tries to throw something at you tomorrow, and if you think that, if you size up that situation wrong and use your own thinking, which is a lie, just give it a little while. God will bring it around to see it right. Because it's His word, and it shall come to pass. And so I want to encourage you, as we close, I want to encourage you to take all these promises that you know that God has given to you, that we should possess, the things that we should possess and maybe don't, and start exercising. Exercising your position of who you are and the power of the spoken word. I don't think, you know, we got this idea where we think that, a great surge of energy comes up on us and hair stands back up on the back of our neck and we just rise up with a great something or other and that's how we know to speak something. But you realize Jesus was the Word, and we know Brother Rev said the bride's the Word. Jesus was the Word, and He didn't need to have inspiration. He didn't need to have hair standing back up on His neck. I'll say it that way. He didn't need to feel chill bumps. He was the Word. All He had to do is be Himself. And when you come to that place where you and Christ are one, you're not going to have to receive some powerful laser beam from heaven that strikes you and makes you rise up and speak something. It's just going to be in you. So you don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to. But what I'm showing you is we want to stay in the presence of the Word. We want to believe God and move into everything that He's told us, because those things are resident there in that kind of person. Those things are resident in that kind of walk with God, and they'll happen. See? So it needs to become first nature to us. It needs to become something that happens because of who we are, not because we try to manufacture it, because of who we are. So God will bring it to pass in your walk and in your life. But there's something we have to do about it. You realize it's hard for a minister to describe this, because it is, what we're talking about is third pool things. It's not something that's easily spoken, but the Holy Spirit can reveal to your heart what it is that you must do and how you must follow Him and follow His leadership and His guidance and walk with Him each day like Enoch walked with Him. And when you do that, the things, as the Scripture said, when we exercise ourselves to godliness, when you exercise something, when you exercise being in fellowship with Him every day, you exercise that communion with Him, you know, you kind of get to know what He wants. You kind of get to know what He thinks, right? Just by hanging out with Him. And so you kind of get to know those things. And when you get to know Him like that, that becomes who you are. That becomes your way of thinking. That becomes your way to respond. And so that's what we want to do. Just walk with Him. Let His influence, totally through the message of the hour, the revealed word, let that influence you. And I said the other day, the bride is the only one that knows how to walk with Him, because she's the only one that really knows Him. Nobody can walk with Him if they don't know Him. And He's the revealed word of this end time message, see? Because this message is everything that had been throughout all ages now in its fullness. And that's Christ, and we know Him because we've not rejected Him. We walk with that, and it's through our interaction of that daily walking with this end time message that we become that end time message. That we become one with Him. And in that mode, walking with Him, it becomes first nature for us just to think, act, everything like Him. Amen? That's rapture. Because I said the other day, he asks, you have faith in it, he reveals it to you, but you've got to flesh it out. And our absolute body change is going to be the fleshing out of the faith and the revelation of the rapture that we have in us, which is a person. So when God says, you know what, it's time for me to leave, it's time for me to leave this earth and go so that judgment will fall, you'll know it's time to leave. Something will strike your heart, and the scripture said, you'll begin to say, even so, Lord, come quickly. He always places in your heart what he wants to provide. He'll put a cry in your heart. You cry that out, he'll meet that cry. So he'll begin to put in us the desire, even so, Lord, come quickly. So he will turn around and come and supply that. Everybody understand that? Mm-hmm. And so he will put in you, and I realize this is kind of hard to imagine, but we've got loved ones. We've got people that we'd like to see in there. But when this strikes you, the wisdom of God, and you realize he might have to say, let me tell you why your neighbor can't go with you in rapture. You'll understand why. Because you're walking with him in that way. And so what I'm saying is, when our mind goes away and we truly come into his way of thinking, then we're going to understand why thus and thus. And when he puts that spirit upon us to say it's time to go, we're not going to argue with him. Right. We're not going to sit there and say, but you can't, Lord, because I got this neighbor and I got my child or my whatever. You're not going to do that. And I say child because we can have them there, but some of them might have to come through tribulation to get there. But he'll say to us, it's time to go. We're not going to argue with him. Right. See, Brother Bram said, you know, it's true. I'll say it in my own words. Who is the bride of Christ? She's the one that agrees with him. Yeah. Because if she didn't agree with him, there'd be a constant fuss. That's what Brother Bram said. Constantly fussing going on. So his every move, his everything, when he wants, and I'll just lay it out like this. Jesus had this kind of walk with him. So when the Father wanted this, he did it. They didn't want that, he didn't do it. So when he went down through that multitude of people and the Father only wanted him to heal the one and walk away and leave all the rest, he didn't argue about it. Regardless of the criticism or whatever, he didn't argue about it. He just went, why? Because he was walking in tune. And so when we come to that place, regardless of what the Lord, what he says, we will understand, we'll not argue with him, and we'll say, okay, it's time. Amen. It's time. Because we come to the mindset of God. You know, people always try to wrap their heads around the things of God, and they always want to go back and say, oh yeah, you Christians, you know, well then, you're serving this God. Well, why did God tell Israel to go out and kill all these Amalekites or do all that? No, he's reaching for something like that. Because they're using humanity, their mind's human way of thinking, not looking at the way God thinks and what God's looking at. And God's looking at the spirits and the evil spirits that are there, and he looks at the people and he sees what they are, and he has reached in his way of things, he's reached to a place where it's time to remove them, and time to judge them. Yeah. Because in his economy they've reached that, and we're looking at it on a human level. Well, that's not right, those little children and Amalekite children and all that. But God's looking at the spirit and the big picture, and he knows what they are. He knows what they become. And somehow or another, he's got it all. So we don't try to second-guess God, right? What we try to do is let God bring our thinking up to where we understand why things are the way it is. And that's what happens with the bride at the end. We will not question him. When he says, do this, he'll do it. When he said, Enoch, build this, build it that way, build it this way, build it that way. Enoch, stop. Don't put that capstone on. But Lord, I've worked all these years, 365 years I've been working, and I'm only got about 8 days left to finish this, and you're telling me to stop. You think that's what Enoch did? No. God knew what he was doing, and Enoch was in tune with him. And that's what it will take for the bride of Christ in this hour, to be totally, completely in tune with him. And do you believe that? So what he has said pertaining to you shall be. It will be. Regardless of what your physical eyes see, it shall be. God will have you to that place at some point. And the reason why I can say that to you is because you are setting in the end time message. You haven't rejected it. I trust that you are feeding on the Word daily, that you are listening to sermons, that you do attend service, that you are letting the Word of God feed you, and that you are growing. And if you're in that, Shelby, you'll come to that place because it will work. You can't water something and, you know, and fertilize it and there not be something happen that will happen. So, amen. God bless you. Let's stand as musicians come. Amen. Let's bow our hearts to Him. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to this end of the service this morning, Lord, Lord, I've expressed this morning how that our minds, Lord, and our way of processing things come our way, how that we want it, Lord, to be in unity with your word, that any thought process contrary is just a lie. And we know, Lord, that there's no lie in your kingdom, that it's all truth, upstanding, correct, according to your plan. And Lord, if I was to ask each person in this building this morning what their desire is pertaining to this, they each one would say that, Lord, that their lives would express your truth and no lie. And so, Lord, we just ask this morning that you would visit each one of us through your great Holy Spirit, through the ministry of your word, Lord, that you would quicken us, quicken our mind, quicken our experience and our walk with you, Lord, that there would be such a dynamics between you and us, Lord, that we'd actually begin to think and act just like you. We know that's what you have for us, Lord, and we know that it is all around us, moving and constantly unfolding. And we ask, God, that you'd help us to turn our eyes away from those things that are seen and go right straight to the things that are invisible, Lord, the things that are eternal. To begin to work and be inspired off of those and follow after those things because it's what is written in your word. We ask, God, that you give us the strength that we need in that direction for those things. As we meet the days ahead, we realize, Lord, that great times are coming. But as your prophet said, we live in a golden age. We live in the greatest hour. And I'm convinced, Lord, that this is true. So I pray, God, that you teach us, Lord, to live by that which is not seen. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song of worship. We'll just get a couple of minutes before we go.
You deserve the glory.
Great. You live here, there is no so great.
Something that's a question arises in the family, and maybe the family doesn't know what to do about a certain issue. I think that the dad should be able just to simply say, I think it ought to be kind of like this. I don't think he should even have to say it must be this way. I think that even just his suggestion of his wisdom of what he feels, I think the family should be in tune and following. Because what kind of family would it be? This is the prophet speaking now. I'm referring to Brother Brown, what he said. What kind of family would it be where the dad would have to say, now listen up. This is the way it's going to be. Miss Brenham, you can't do this. You can't do that. He said, no, it's not that way at all. He said, she loves me. You know, you understand what I'm talking about. See? And that's the way it should be. We want to get in tune with him. Not something where he has to hammer and say, and even from the pulpit, you must not have real bride. No, she comes to that place where she's in tune with him. And his every desire is just, she picks up on it. And she just lives it and flows with it. And you talk about a peaceful home. That's a peaceful home. Amen. We don't do so good down here below in our earthly home, but that's, I'm speaking to you about the kingdom of heaven. At a place where the Prince of Peace is the King.
Yes.
Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.